Yeah, this talk is going to be a split between myself and Dr. Jeremy Green, and so I'm going to go through our information from the Mid-South first, and then Jeremy will present his, and we will take questions if we have time for after that. In the Mid-South, as far as control issues go with thrips, that we do face a number of issues that we are addressing, and these include things. I mean, as basic as the species of thrips you encounter, and depending on the species of thrips we end up with in a particular situation, it can have some influence on some of the decisions we make. We have concerns with the number of our prophylactic treatments, especially since the loss of Timic and the heavy reliance on seed treatments. And we've had some issues as far as resistance goes with some of our seed treatments, and we have concerns with the others as well. We see issues with the use of pre-emergence herbicides, as we've gone with the highly resistant pigweeds in with Roundup situation. We've had more and more reliance on these pre-emerge herbicides, and of course that they can have an effect as well on the vigor and health of these early cotton plants. And one of the things we're interested in, of course, also are in-furrow treatments. This appears to be a very highly efficacious method of maybe controlling thrips that in case we do lose all the use of perhaps our seed treatments. And going along with that, of course, is augmenting with foliar sprays. Even with the seed treatments we currently have, there's always that chance that as they wear off, we're going to have to come in and supplement these treatments with some kind of foliar application to get the kind of control we need. And when we look at thrips populations in the Mid-South, it's by and large predominantly tobacco thrips. And this is year in and year out. Doesn't mean that every year you're going to see, you know, 90, 95% tobacco thrips. We do see some shifts in the thrips species. Probably the one that concerns us the most is when we see a shift toward more western flower thrips. This thrips tends to be a little bit more difficult to control, particularly with some of the foliar insecticides. At least from my experience in Louisiana, when we see the western flower thrips, it tends to be in a drier spring. And that may be just because they're coming off of a flowering host. That would normally be would keep them in on those hosts, and in a drier spring they may be more abundant. So most of what I'm going to focus in on are the tobacco thrips, and this represents a test that we conducted in 2013 in Louisiana. It was 95% tobacco thrips, maybe even a little higher. And the thing we really want to point out here. With tobacco thrips, what we've been seeing over a number of years is the slippage in the efficacy of Cruiser. What we're looking at is thrips per five plants, and you can see where the Gaucho is still holding in this particular test. We're seeing that Cruiser was not providing the level of control that we would like to see. Now, interestingly, if you look at the Evicta, which includes the abamectin on the seed as well as the Cruiser, you do see a little bit of a benefit from that Evicta on the seed. And we also see it to some extent, at least numerically here, but we've seen it even statistically break out in cases with Eris. Eris is a thiodicarb added with Gaucho. And so you do see a little bit of bump for those products, but overall they don't provide the bulk of the efficacy toward the thrips. Now, about 3-4 years ago is when we really started seeing the problems with Cruiser, and I think Scott Stewart in Tennessee really felt the brunt of this, particularly because he has a little bit of cooler environment, and so thrips injury tends to be more pronounced. And what he was seeing is that, and this was just a perfect scenario where he saw this, is where they had some Eris treated cotton right next to some Cruiser treated cotton, and you can definitely tell that the Cruiser treated cotton was not faring as well as that with the Eris. There were a lot of issues that we played around with to try to determine, you know, what was going on. We thought, well, maybe there's herbicide interactions, whereas, you know, maybe with some of these pre-emergence herbicides, Cruiser was being rendered ineffective from that respect. But basically, what we've found, and this has been verified by Scott and some other, and I think Arkansas and Mississippi, all of these had a test looking at herbicide injury, and you can definitely get, you know, injury from these pre-emergence herbicides. It's just, it's not the reason Cruiser has been failing us. And essentially what it boils down to is resistance. And this has been confirmed by Syngenta in 2013, and there's been quite a bit more work conducted this last season. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because there's a presentation this afternoon at 3:30 by Chelsea Darnell, and I would highly recommend y'all attend that talk to get more information on thymethoxam resistance in the Mid-South. I will just present just one slide of herd data that shows that, yes, indeed, if you look at the resistance ratios for Cruiser, that there does appear to be definitely resistance in tobacco thrips to Cruiser. We don't see it as pronounced in Gaucho. That doesn't mean that the potential is not there for us to develop resistance to imidacloprid. But right now, we're not really picking up it as a real issue at this point. So to go along with this, what we're doing is we're doing a lot of different types of tests, trying to look for alternatives. We're scared to death that we're going to lose these seed treatments because we rely so heavily on them for our early season thrips control. This represents a regional test that was conducted throughout the Mid-South, looking at some acephate. These numbers at the bottom of the bars represents the rates as a seed treatment compared to Cruiser, Avicta, Gaucho, Aris, and then a Cruiser plus acephate. And there is some potential, particularly for some higher rates of acephate. We do have some concerns that we may have some phytotoxicity there. This is all new data. It really needs to be tested quite a bit more before we'll actually go out and recommend these. But this is something that we are looking for at. Another thing that I mentioned previously is that we're very interested in the in-furrow sprays. And this is really where we've seen our biggest impact as far as being able to manage thrips. Here's a test we conducted in 2013 where we looked at Gaucho seed treatment, which is imidacloprid, and compared it to Admire Pro, which is imidacloprid sprayed in furrow, and also Cruiser seed treatment, thymethoxam, and then thymethoxam, which is platinum on this chart, sprayed in furrow. And the Admire Pro in this test looked very similar to Timic. And so it looked very good. Interestingly, you know, even if we put the thymethoxam in furrow, we still see issues, control issues with that product. And of course, Bayer is coming out with their new product. This is the Valium Total, which actually contains the imidacloprid as well as a fungicide for early season plant health. And we've seen very good activity out of this as a potential replacement should we lose our seed treatments. And of course we have to deal also with the supplemental foliar sprays. And again, just to point out, there are a number of sprays, particularly when you're looking at tobacco thrips, that are really highly efficacious. Things could be Bidrin, Radiant, even dimethylate and acephate. But I think the thing you really want to point out is that we have to be very careful with what we use. Particularly in the Mid-South, we have a lot of spider mite issues, and a lot of guys are really afraid to look heavily at acephate. And so we tend to rely more heavily on things that are a little bit softer, things like Radiant. And so, again, we're continuing to evaluate a number of foliar insecticides. And the Radiant, at least for us, when we do have Western flower thrips, tends to work very well under that species mix. And again, timing. And I'm not going to go into a lot on this slide for sake of time, but timing is critical. If you're going to use a foliar application, and this is in the absence of any kind of seed treatment, but foliar applications for thrips, timing is critical. And the earlier you get in on that crop, it tends to be better. Our best applications, our highest yielding applications, or least injury, tended to be those where we went right out at cod leading stage or very early, like mouse ear size true leaf. And with that, I'm going to switch it over to Jeremy. Thanks.
Thanks, David. I was just told I had like 5 minutes, and when I originally uploaded these slides, I thought I had 15. So you're going to see me skip through a bunch of slides here, and maybe I'll just show you the pictures. But anyhow, the talk that I put together represents our Southeast group and some of the work that we've been doing for the last several years targeting thrips. And certainly everything that we've been doing is an attempt to minimize this, of course, prevent this, right, to get us here without a delay or a yield loss. And I think everybody knows from your various experiences that you're going to see at least a delay with this, right? Probably a yield loss, and this is just untreated in a seed treatment. All right, so no background on thrips. Everybody knows how important they can be. You've already heard from Dr. Kern's talk that we're primarily dealing with tobacco thrips. That'd be red on these pie charts, and this represents a lot of the southern geography. Whole laundry list of what gives a good start in programs addressing thrips, and we'll cover some of those. Risk factors, everybody knows, planting date, your preventative material you use, herbicide stress, all kinds of things factor into risk factors for thrips. Going to skip over that quickly since I only have 4 minutes left. All right, so CI-funded research for our Southeast group, we've attempted to address a number of things in the last several years, and those are listed here. We'll quickly go through those. Tillage and cover crop residue is something that can be important. We use reduced tillage for what? It's to reduce soil erosion, allow better infiltration of water, reduce compaction, all kinds of factors, reduce cost. It also helps with thrips. Just one chart on comparing conventional tillage with strip tillage, and you can see in a couple different years, this is Dr. Mike Taves, David from Georgia. The fewer thrips found in the strip tillage, basically what this chart shows. On to the next slide. So what does the cover actually do? How does that, what's the mechanism there? Well, that's not very well understood. It seems to deal with host acquisition, visual acquisition of the plant. Somehow it's disrupted with this residue. Maybe there's some allelopathy with the prepupae that fall off the plant, disrupting the life cycle. That's still an area of research. All right, starter fertilizer is something that we looked at, and starter fertilizer does help in certain situations. Again, Dr. Mike Taves put together some of our data here, and you can see I've tried to circle where we use a starter under irrigated conditions. You can see the plant biomass was larger, not so much under dryland conditions there on the right. Looking at soil type, plant biomass was larger about 42 days after planting when we had a sandy soil, and not so much when we had more of a heavier soil. So to summarize that, starter fertilizers seem to have the most appropriate fit under irrigation and sandy soils. Take home message there. This is a good extension exercise in delivering a message quickly, isn't it? All right, so at plant insecticide options, there are a lot of those, seed treatments in furrows, combinations, and Dr. Kern's covered that. I'm not going to go over all these seed treatments. I'll just show you some pictures from some of the stuff we did. We're going to skip this chart. In 2009, these are photos from one of my trials in Blackville, South Carolina. There's Admire Pro at 9.2 ounces in furrow compared to a check. I think pictures speak for themselves. Look pretty good. Here's Acceleron N, which would be the 5-methoxam in 2013 compared to a check. Look decent. Got some control there. Some issues starting to show up. Timic, 5 pounds in furrow. Look pretty good compared to the check. Thimet at 5 pounds in furrow looked pretty good in this test. Adequate rainfall in this trial in 2013. And then we've got a section 18 for counter in 2013-14 in Georgia and South Carolina. Counter looked pretty good at 6.5 pounds in furrow compared to a check. All right, 2014, since we're pretty much out of time, I just want to point out one thing here. This is a pretty comprehensive trial where we looked at some in-furrow liquids, the granular materials, seed treatments, and this was my trial from South Carolina this past season. Here's the thimethoxam alone, and we're starting to see some of these issues with thimethoxam as a seed treatment in terms of tobacco thrips protection. And here are the end ratings, and 3 is what we consider a treatable level. Here's an untreated check, and here's where we were with the Victa Complete with the thimethoxam set starting to show up in trials. I'm going to kind of skip over some of these other trials. So post-plant options, what do we do after planting? This is the only slide I have on that. We have discovered that it's very critical to go early with these foliar applications. If you're waiting, you're behind the game. So they need to go out early, 7 days, certainly by the first 14 days after emergence. All right, Dr. Kearns talked about the interactions of herbicides, pre-emergence herbicides, and thrips management programs, and what we have found. And again, I'll just show you some pictures here. If you just look at the treatments where we had no insecticide and no pre's, and then we had the 1x rate of the pre's and the 2x rate, you can see we got a little bit of herbicide injury here. This was from Virginia. And then if you look at where we used Evicta, you can still see we got a little more injury as we got into that 2x rate. And when we used the Evicta plus the foliar applicase of Orthene, a little less injury as we got into that that 2x rate. And then I think this is from Georgia. It essentially shows you the same thing. You got the no pre's, no insecticide, looking at the additional protection. And as you move over to the 2x rate of the pre's, you can see a little more protection with the combination of the seed treatment and the foliar. So pictures kind of tell a story. So we definitely got to use these pre-emergence herbicides. Thrips management is important in all environments, but perhaps that is elevated in a stressful environment with herbicide injury as a stressor. All right, one final thing that we're working on in the Southeast is a predictive model for thrips. It'd be really nice to know when you were going to have a peak population of thrips, right? So we're kind of working on that, and I'm not going to go into any more detail on that. Just a summary slide here, and I won't read everything, Gus, but go ahead, got time. All right, so thrips are, to summarize, thrips are a predictable and important pest. There's lots of risk factors, and you need to know all those and recognize those. At plant treatment is definitely necessary, and there are options there. If we lose the seed treatments, we will be in trouble, as Dr. Kearns mentioned, but we do have some options to fall back on for right now. Minimizing stress on the plant is important. We got to use these pre-emergence herbicides, but we need to make sure that we know the proper rates and we're putting those out correctly. Foliar applications should go out very early. We talk about revenge spraying. If you're spraying after the fourth leaf, you're just revenge spraying. You need to spray early. As starter fertilizer on sandy irrigated soil is probably a good idea, and good luck in 2015. How about that?
Yeah. Thanks, Jeremy.